For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest as disciples of Jesus Christ.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, continuing today to talk about some of the aspects of motherhood. I was talking yesterday about how difficult it is to let go of our children at any stage at all, whether it's weaning or letting the child go off to nursery school or high school or college or marriage or anything else. So I want to read this marvelous passage from my friend St. Augustine. And I often speak of the authors of books that have meant a great deal in my life as my friends. I feel as though they are my friends. And St. Augustine, of course, lived hundreds of years ago. And you may remember some of his story, that he lived a very, very dissolute life, lustful life, up until the Lord got a hold of him. And he was followed by the prayers of his mother, his godly mother, Monica. And I would recommend the Confessions of St. Augustine to you, to all of you. If you are mothers, you will find some very helpful and inspiring passages about Monica. But the story, the entire book, is taken up with the way in which the Holy Spirit of God hounded this man, just followed him, and drew him ultimately to himself. It's a marvelous story of conversion and of a totally transformed life. And there's no doubt in my mind that a great part of the reason for that transformation was the prayers of his faithful mother. Well, he had decided as a young man that he was going to Rome. And Rome was a place where she felt sure that he would be totally destroyed. There were many allurements there, he said, whereby I might be drawn thither by men in love with a dying life, the one doing frantic, the other promising vain things. And he's speaking to God here. He says, to correct my steps, thou didst secretly use their and my own perverseness. For both they who disturbed my quiet were blinded with a disgraceful frenzy, and they who invited me elsewhere savored of earth. And I, who here detested real misery, was there seeking unreal happiness. But why I went hence and went thither, thou knewest, O God, yet showest it neither to me nor to my mother, who grievously bewailed my journey and followed me as far as the sea. Can you picture that weeping mother following her son right to the dock of the sailing vessel? But I deceived her, holding me by force, that either she might keep me back or go with me. And I feigned that I had a friend whom I could not leave till he had a fair wind to sail. And I lied to my mother, and such a mother, and escaped. For this also hast thou mercifully forgiven me, preserving me thus full of execrable defilements from the waters of the sea, for the water of thy grace. Whereby when I was cleansed, the streams of my mother's eyes should be dried, with which for me she daily watered the ground under her face. She wept so much that the ground was wet where she knelt. And yet, refusing to return without me, I scarcely persuaded her to stay that night in a place hard by the ship, where there was an oratory in memory of the blessed Cyprian. That night I secretly departed, but she was not behind in weeping and prayer. And what, O Lord, was she with so many tears asking of thee, but that thou wouldst not allow me to sail? But thou, in the depth of thy counsels, and hearing the main point of her desire, regardedst not what she had then asked, that thou mightest make me what she always asked. And here I may put in a word. I spoke several months ago on the subject of the Lord's Prayer, and under the section of Thy Kingdom Come, Thy Will Be Done, I talked about how very often, in order for God's will to be done, he takes methods which seem to cut right across the purpose of our prayer. Well, here was Monica beseeching God with tears not to allow Augustine to go to Rome. And he says that God allowed him to go so that God might ultimately fulfill her greatest desire. The wind blew and swelled our sails and withdrew the shore from our sight. And she, on the next day, was there, frantic with sorrow, and with complaints and groans filled thine ears, who didst then disregard them. Whilst through my desires thou wert hurrying me to end all desire, and the earthly part of her affection to me was chastened by the allotted scourge of sorrows. Is there a mother listening who has been chastened by the allotted or the appointed scourge of sorrows? For she loved my being with her, as mothers do, but much more than many. And she knew not how great joy thou wert about to work for her out of my absence. She knew not. Therefore did she weep and wail. And by this agony there appeared in her the inheritance of Eve, with sorrow seeking what in sorrow she had brought forth. In other words, she was seeking to save this son that she had brought forth in sorrow or in pain, as every mother brings forth a child. And yet, after accusing my treachery and hard-heartedness, she betook herself again to intercede to thee for me in her wonted place, and I went to Rome. Well, if you read the book, you find out what God had in store for Augustine. Some people call him Augustine, some people Augustine. God was not letting go. God was not disregarding that mother's prayers. It is a thrilling story of the power of one humble woman's tearful prayers. So those of you who have wayward children, whose children perhaps have left home or perhaps are still at home and breaking your hearts, never imagine that one single teardrop is overlooked by God. The psalm says he puts our tears in his bottle. Janet Erskine Stewart, another one of my friends, in quotation marks, one whose writings have greatly nourished me, says, "We are not at our best when we are most exuberant, most impetuous, most abounding in strength, most enthusiastic, and most eager. But we are at our best when we are pulling most gravely, steadily, courageously in our appointed duties. When we are almost swamped by difficulties, weariness, seeming impossibilities, but all the time our face bravely turned towards eternity, our hearts lovingly turned toward God, and our wills determined to fight and fight to the death." Some of you, I'm sure, are not feeling exuberant, impetuous, abounding, enthusiastic, and eager. But God has given you work to do that you can do gravely, steadily, courageously, even if you're swamped by difficulties, weariness, impossibilities. Turn your face bravely towards eternity. In my talks to mothers, I do hope that you felt that I'm on your side. I'm your friend. I'm here to cheer and to encourage you, whatever your circumstances may be. And you fathers who have been listening to this program, has it given you perhaps a new understanding of what your wife may be feeling? Maybe she's a woman who doesn't know how to express her deepest feelings to you, or she may be one who knows very well how to, but she doesn't want to burden you with the kind of sorrows which she might feel a man would never understand. Well, perhaps you'll never understand them thoroughly. We don't even understand ourselves thoroughly, do we? But I hope that perhaps it may have opened your eyes to the dignity and the exalted glory of the job that God has given to your wife to do. Doesn't it also open to you an understanding of the dignity of your job as a husband? to provide for her, to protect her, to surround her, to cherish her, to make it possible for her to be the kind of mother that a wife is supposed to be. What about your job as a father? Do you see it now, perhaps in a new light, having listened to my talks on motherhood? May God give both you mothers and fathers strength and blessing. And I want to close with just a little poem by Andrew Reed. Then shall my days be thine, and all my heart be love, and joy and peace be mine, such as are known above. Come, Holy Spirit, quickly come, and make my heart thy lasting home.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.